Are you troubled by strange voices in your ears?
Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement, attic, or car?
Have you or your family actually listened to a spooky podcast?
If the answer is yes, don't wait another minute. Just pick up the phone and listen to the professionals.
Ghostcasters!
Our courteous and efficient submitters are on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural podcast listening needs as we count down to the latest release of the Ghostbuster series, Ghostbusters Afterlife, in theaters November 11th, 2021.
Just go to the We Can Make This Work, probably, podcast network and upload your mobile PKE readings and audio recordings. After all, we're Ghostcasters.
We're ready to believe in you.
Podcasters Assemble is a production of the We Can Make This Work, probably, podcast network.
Bill trapped in the night, I was afraid of what might be. I can't remember the rest of the words to this song. I hope you'll forgive me. Yay! Hello, everybody! Whoop, everybody! Yeah. Whoop, everybody! And welcome back to another Trappings Alive, where I have you all trapped alive within my strongest basement possible. Maybe not. Yes. Welcome to Trappings Alive, people. And we are back once again with a Renegade Master. No, I've done that joke. Anyway, so. Yes, we are back. And this week we are going to be talking about the wrestling chapter from Live Alive. So, in case you're new to the podcast and you've been listening to some of the other random old shit I've been putting out recently, because yes, I am re-releasing some old general podcasting nonsense that I've been made in the past, releasing it here so all your Bill goodness can be found in one logical, illogical place, which is here on the Trappings podcast. Yeah, I think I'm settling down on calling this the Trappings podcast now. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but to me and all you people who have followed along with my oddness over the years, then the Trappings podcast is where it is at, my friends. Yes. But, sod all that, we're here to talk about the wrestling chapter of Live Alive. If you people out there are completely sick of the Live Alive series and completely fed up of hearing me talking about Live Alive, which I'm getting close to... No, I'm not getting close to finishing. I've still got a complete mecha, and then I've got to do the night section, and then I've got to do the last section. I've still got three parts of this game to play, so probably about 10 hours worth of gameplay, I reckon. But, you know, I'll get there eventually, and then I'll do a nice, lovely, big, full whack review with Scott. And I think because of the nature of how much I've put out on my feed here, I'm going to ask him very politely, do you mind if I put it out on mine? Do you mind if I put the review out on my show too, Scott. Yeah? Yeah? I'll do it a couple of weeks after you. Anyway, but yeah, we'll get to that. Just so people can find it, you know? But yes, the wrestling chapter, which is also Contact. Who makes Contact these days? You know, don't go and watch the film Contact, all right? 3 hours of your life wasted. The alien's her dad. What the fuck? That's messed up. Did he just fly to Earth and have sex with her mum? Like, you know, that's the plot of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Oh, spoilers if you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Who hasn't seen that film yet? You know? If you haven't seen the first Guardians of the Galaxy, you should go watch it. It's really good. But the second one's all right, you know? It's okay. Yeah, but it's still, you know, it's like much the same. Much goodness. Yeah, man, I love Guardians of the Galaxy. What a great film. Anyway, yes, The Strongest, which is Masaru Takahara's scenario in Live Alive, and it takes place in what could be called the present day. So, like I said, this is like a wrestling scenario where you get to fight other opponents and, you know, they're kind of like wrestlers. I mean, even the cursor is a goddamn dumbbell in this game. Like, they really go full out. And you even get a montage at the beginning. Oh my God. Even Rocky had a montage, people. Like, come on. A montage in a game like this. But yeah, given the way it's signed the set, it kind of feels very 1994, you know, when this game was released. So, present day. Yeah. Yeah. See where I'm going with this? See where I'm going with this? Yeah. God, that was a creepy laugh, wasn't it? Fuck me. What am I doing, man? What am I doing? Yes, it's kind of cool, man. So this, you know, as I've been talking through these things, I've been talking about the people who designed the artwork for the art book, which we never got to see because the game was only released in Japan, but you can see it online if you go to the right sites and look at the PDFs. But all the artwork was designed by different, various artists working for the studio down the road from old whatchamacallit, you know, Squaresoft Works or whatever it was. Jesus, what was that noise? I've never heard any computer make that noise. Let's carry on with the show. That was a random one. Yes, and the the Strongest was actually designed by Ryuji Miniagwa, who is a Japanese manga artist, and he was born in Tokyo. And he is mostly famous for writing... he invented the story of Spriggan, which is something I've actually heard. It's kind of... yeah, I've heard of Spriggan before, but I can't think where. I feel like it might have been animated at some point. Maybe I had a weird DVD back in the late 2000s of Spriggan something Dark Side. But who knows? yeah, he's also... Because his first debut was a manga called Heaven, which was released in 1998. And then he also worked with Hiroshi Takaguchi. Who worked on 11 volumes of Spriggan. 11. Which brought him fame across North America and Europe, according to my good old friend Wikipedia here. but yeah, after Spriggan was complete, he went on to make Kyo, and he also created something called ARMS. Now, I know that spells the word arms, but it's all capitalized. And that ran from 97 to 2002, so I assume that was kind of popular. And he received the 44th Shogakukan manga awards for creating arms. He also created D Alive, whatever that is. Maybe his dick's alive. He's a semi-famous thing. And he said once in an interview he was inspired when he watched the films of George Lucas and Francis Ford Coppola and Steven Spielberg. One of those directors I think is very good. I'll let you guess which one. yes. But he did also actually work on a couple of other video games. He worked on a couple of the Tekken video games. Again, Live Alive. He worked on Critical Blow. And he, there was a Spriggan game, which I didn't even know existed, called Lunaverse. But yeah, he seemed to do a lot of work revolving around fighting games. And he was also he also did illustrations for the Metal Gear Solid Premium Package Edition, which was only released in Japan. But it looks absolutely freaking awesome, man. Like, yeah, you should look up the Metal Gear Solid classified booklet, which he did in Japan. That looks absolutely amazing. He did, his artwork depicted the six main members of Foxhound. You know, who, if you played Metal Gear Solid, they are the antagonists of the group. But going back to our wonderful game, this chap's overall presentation and aesthetics are very reminiscent of fighting video games that you get into. And it's really good because, you know, it was a really weird way of doing it. And I think this kind of comes off the back of Capcom and Street Fighter 2. And there's a lot of things in this chapter which you can definitely see are inspired by Street Fighter 2. The defeated screen when you lose to Odie is like a spoof of Street Fighter 2's continue screen. The way you select people who fight, select the little portrait in the screen, is very reminiscent of a Street Fighter game. The defeated portraits of the fighters as well is inspired by Street Fighter 2, because when you used to beat Guile and stuff, you used to see them and they'd be all bruised and swollen on their faces, and this is very much the same, where they have all blood and stuff coming down their face once you beat them. And even Yoko Shimomura, previously worked at Capcom, created the soundtrack for Street Fighter 2 and its subsequent installments. And I believe as well the music track that she created in this for the menu select screen was based off of one of her works for Street Fighter 2. She kind of just tweaked it a little bit to make it suit her needs. Yeah, the chapter starts and you are playing a fierce youth who has entered a global fighting tournament to experience and learn the combat styles of the world. He will see many techniques and he will use them to achieve his ultimate goal, to be the strongest in the world. Oh, Dave Mustaine. Oh, hello. Welcome to my Dave Mustaine podcast. I think everyone in the world can do a Dave Mustaine impression. Oh, mine's probably worse than normal. Oh, yeah. Hello, me. It's me again. In my misfits way of life. So this chapter is unique among others. Yeah, because there's no world map, there's no field breaks in between. It is literally a fighting game. You select your characters and you've got to fight each one as you go along. There are six different opponents that you can choose from, and you can pick them in any order, but it kind of, as I discovered to my detriment, you know, most of them you pick and they beat the shit out of you. So I eventually went online to I think an RPG shrine somewhere, which told me a good suggested order to play them in, to pick up various moves in order so that you can beat some of the other fighters. So, some of the fighters, you've got Jackie Ikenara, who is he looks like a huge sumo wrestler who's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. So I can only assume this is kind of based off of E. Honda. And apparently, he lives in Hawaii. Yeah, that's what he does. But yeah, he's a bastard. You have to get him. You have to really get him in an arm lock move and try and beat him down in order to sort of wait for him to use something called Earth Rendering Fury, which I think is a secret move as well. I don't think that was one you were supposed to be able to get. But yeah, anyway, yeah, you're supposed to learn his Aloha Clap and Ogre Grip. God, why can't I say ogre then? That's weird. But yes, I won't be defeated by your Japanese wrestling moves. My sumo skills will crush you. Yeah, I'm confused. I always thought sumo wrestling was Japanese. Anyway, the next person you can fight is a guy, and this is actually I'm going to save this one to the end because, you know, it's kind of the funniest one. There's someone called Great Asia who you can fight, who kind of he looks like the James Bond villain from one of the Roger Moore films, where it's all to do with voodoo and stuff. Oh, what is that film called? Ah, oh, man. Oh, Eric from Epic Fails of History is going to murder me. We did the whole James Bond series. I can't remember what he's called. But yes, he's wearing like a skull mask and he's got this weird thing and he's got a skull on top of a stick. And he's wearing tiger sweatpants. Yeah, he looks a sight. And he's called the Great Asia. And he says, "Hey, Masaru, you puny freak. You obviously have no skill. I'm going to chop your head off." That's pretty aggressive for a friendly fighting game. Maybe not so friendly. He's there. He's a bit of a bastard. And what can you learn from this guy? I believe you can learn the Frankensteiner and the Tornado Press. Are the two moves you can learn from this guy. Now, you'll find, as I go through this, I'll be mentioning these moves. Most of them are freaking useless. There's basically only two moves that are even worth learning. There's only really one move that's worth learning. And this is from this guy, from Morbury Sheshiri. Sheshiri? I can't say that. If you wish to truly become the strongest, I hope you have studied well in the art of war, he says. And he's got the lovely theme of knock you down. And this guy is just, he looks quite skinny. His face looks pretty shrunken. The eyes are shrunken into his skull. He's got a very skull-like face, but he's not wearing a skull over his face like the last guy. And he's kind of like, he's supposed to be like some sort of old martial artist type thing. And he is quite difficult to beat, but this is the one that you really, really need to beat in order to get his Abissi Geri. A-B-I-S-E, Abissi-G-E-R-I, Geri. Abissi Geri. So it's basically a move that when you use it on an opponent, it does a decent bit of damage, spins them round, which then delays them from making their next attack. It is godly. And you can only cast it when you're a step or so away. It is just the most worth it thing you could possibly imagine. It is epic. So, so good. I love it. That's the one you want. You can also Suda from him, S-T-U-D-A, Suda, which is kind of like a hand technique. Again, it's pretty good, actually, because it does a good bit of damage and also drops their stats. So you can drop their IQ, their level, and a few other things. They are pretty handy. They are both pretty handy techniques. This is the guy where you really need these techniques, especially Abugassi, because you need to spam it later on. Now, Namcat was actually the first person I fought. They mullered me. Absolutely mullered me. Ha! You've come all the way from Japan to face me. Too bad you won't be able to so much as bruise my pretty face. Now, Namcat is very Indian looking. Kind of looks like their vagina's on show as well in this portrait. That's about all I can say. Imagine like almost like a Thai kickboxer with an Indian woman's face that's been painted up to look a bit like Shiva. I think that's the best I can explain it. And they've got gloves on. And a few bits of jewellery. Yeah. Namcat. I mean, yeah. I'm saying, it just to me, it looks Indian. I mean, it's obviously supposed to be Thai inspired. But yeah, I can't tell if it's got a crutch or a vagina. There's a weird line. It's really weird. But yeah, anyway, he is a kickboxer. Of great beauty. And yeah, he's supposed to be doing the Muay Thai style of kickboxing and has flexible joints and all that sort of crap. So yeah, he's definitely supposed to be Thai, but just looks really Indian to me. Sorry, just does. And from this guy, you can learn the Lightning Upper and the Panchama Kick, I believe are the ones that you can learn. So difficult to remember. This chapter is really quite light, you know. It's just, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You got 7 fights, and that's it. So I'm doing my best to make something out of this episode, rather than just being like, yeah, you fought these fights. Anyway, character 5, Tala Han. Basically, this is Guile from Street Fighter, but just doesn't look as good. Doesn't look as intimidating at all. He's got the body, but he's got like a pea head. His head looks a bit like the guy from Akira. Not the one that turns into a blob. Oh, God. Anyway. Yeah, so imagine Guile with that with that boy's face from Akira turns into a blob. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, that tickled me. So you're supposed to learn arm lock and cross heel hold from this guy. Oh, man. And then, yeah, I'm going to go back to Max Morgan. So Max Morgan is the best one in this. He's an absolute bastard to beat as well. If you haven't got Abu Ghassi, whatever it's called, you're going to really struggle against this guy. Because you basically have to take the first two hits from him. And he's like the second strongest to the last boss in this scenario. You have to take these first two hits. And they batter you down to like really low health, but otherwise you're just not going to learn it. So he does the German suplex and the Max Bomber. But this guy is basically, he's called Max Morgan, but this is Hulk Hogan. Like, he's got the American trousers, he's literally in his picture got his middle finger up. Like, I can't even make that up. You know, this is obviously how the world portrays America. We all know America's just constantly flipping the bird to everyone as they walk around. He's got, like, the bandana on. He's got the blonde pointy moustache, the blonde sort of mallety thing going on at the back. It's Hulk Hogan all day long. And he even says, "Okay, come on, boy, Max Bomber, number one." Oh, yeah, brother. Yeah, it was brilliant. It was a tough fight, I have to say, though. It's just the best way to beat him is to use the Abigasi on him. So you've got that bit of long range, knocks him back, makes him work. But again, you have to get in close. Unless you're right up next to him, he's not going to use his German suplex or his Max Bomber move. And if you don't learn those, that's it. You can't learn them. Not that you're going to use them much, but, you know, you want to learn them all, don't you, for some reason? Gotta learn them all. Lava mom. And anyway, once you finally beat them all, you get to move on to fight the final boss, who kind of looks like a really muscular version of the Indian guy from Street Fighter with the stretchy arms, whose name escapes me right now, which is really annoying because whenever I play Street Fighter, I always played as his character because I like his long reach. Oh, man. That's going to really annoy me. Nah, it's gone. Can't remember it at all. Anyway, yeah, you've got to fight Odie Oldbright. Yeah, another Odie people. Odie Lee, or whatever his name was from the other games. Yeah, every chapter is always Odie something. And he says, "The title passed on until it reached me. I, the Great One, the Invincible. It is my destiny to be the best there ever was. I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test, to train them is my cause. Lava moan, gotta catch them all. German suplex and all, because I know it's my destiny. Lava moan." I'm too old. I smoked too many cigarettes in my youth. I don't smoke anymore. I probably haven't smoked for about 10 years, but... oh, man. I smoked a lot when I was younger. It doesn't do you any good. Stop smoking now if you smoke. Yeah, you'll eventually recover. So, we find out during The Strongest that actually, after you fought all these people, Odie Albright was also then fighting them as well. But he wasn't just fighting them to beat them. He was killing them. Killing them dead. All of those opponents we fought. Poor old Max Morgan. Bloody Hulk Hogan sitting there dead in a ditch somewhere. We've had him. We put him to rights. Been like, "Yeah, Hulk, you've learned your lesson, my friend." And then Odie Albright comes along and stabs him in the neck. Like, come on, mate. Show some respect. Yeah, but he kills all the champions. And upon making for a name for himself, making dark waves in the martial art world, he shows up to face you, Masaru, himself. And he explains of how he was able to make it to this level, sadistically bragging and gloating of how he kills all the prior champions. This angers you, Masaru. It drives him to the end to fight, to be the strongest of the world. Tall, muscular, bald head guy, tattoos on his shoulders. He looks pretty beefy, and he's a bastard fight, to be honest with you. Because you can't grind in this chapter. You just have to get those things. And again, Abu Ghassi, people. Abu Ghassi. Ghassi. Abu Ghari. Just got to hit him with it repeatedly. It will spin him round so that he can't really do much of an attack to you. But it's still, even then, a tough fight to get through. And then, once you finally beat him, you are crowned the strongest of all. And it's interesting as well, because Oldie Albright is a name which is actually inspired by someone called Gary Albright. Now, I'm very familiar with WWE, or just WWE? Is that what it's called now? I've got to say it's called WWE now, isn't it? It used to be called WWF when I was younger, but obviously, you know, we want to protect wildlife now, not wrestle with our pants. So yeah, I'm familiar with that. But this Gary Albright was a very famous wrestler known for his work in Japan, and he unfortunately died after one of his matches. So this is kind of, I'd like to say a tribute, but it's weird tributing the bad guy's name to a wrestler. Unless he always played a bad guy. You know, you never know. But yeah, once you get to the ending, there's a very strange scene after you beat Odie, where Masaru walks up and stares out to sea for a bit, and then an unknown man appears behind him, saying that if he knocks Masaru down, he'll be known as the strongest, which implies that Masaru's battles have only just begun. Yeah, that's it for the wrestling chapter. I mean, I didn't really talk much about the fights themselves, because it's the same fighting we've been doing for the rest of the game, you know? The characters are on screen, they're bigger than you. You've got your little field to walk around, you can select a move. You start off with pretty much no moves, and then as the other characters use a move on you, you learn that move, and then you can use it in the future. Again, the only one worth getting, really, is the Abu Ghari. The Gary Abu's Harry one. Whatever it is. Yes, I'm not going to say it again. But yes, that brings an end to this Trappings Alive, people. And how I managed to make at least 20 minutes of audio out of this, I think if you played this and you managed to get through without dying, it's probably going to take you less than 20 minutes to get through it. But it was fun. A lot of people in the community who were playing along with us said this wasn't the best chapter, and I don't blame them, really. It wasn't the best chapter. But I kind of enjoyed it. You know, I used to like all these old sort of Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat games. So I'm finding this game is like a big nostalgia trip, and I am enjoying it. But yeah, Strongest is probably not the strongest of chapters, even though Masaru is quite a strong character by the end of it. Anyway, guys, next up on my list, where am I? What? Who am I doing next? Where's my Trello board? Trello! Trello, I need you! You are summoned! Yeah, so next up, I'm going to be recording the robot chapter of Live Alive, and I am supposed to be playing through the mecha chapter at some point, so I can get onto that. So look forward to that, people. There'll be a lot more in that. The robot chapter, I loved. Very, very tense sci-fi drama chapter. Not a lot of fighting. I think there's only like 3 fights in the whole game, but it was absolute gem. I can't wait to talk about it. So I've been Bill. This has been a Trapping. If you like the show, please rate and review on any podcasting apps you can. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your goddamn cat, people. Bill's here, Bill's back, Bill's alive. And this has been Trappings Alive. I'll see you all on the flip side. Love you all. Bye.